Well, the government has launched a new circular economy strategy which aims to transform how Ireland uses resources and materials in order to cut out waste, boost productivity, and they say create sustainable jobs in every part of the country. Now, Junior Minister of Responsibility for Circular Economy is Alan Dillon, and he's with me on the line. Minister, good morning to you, and thanks for joining me on the programme this morning. And can you outline the Circular Economy and Miscellaneous Provisions Act as the legality underpinning all of this? It's now supported by the law. What are you looking to change, and what are you looking, I suppose, to change in terms of people's behaviour?
Well, good morning, Gerry, and thanks for having me on. So this plan is the second whole of government strategy for the circular economy, and it supersedes the first strategy that was published back in 2021. Now, what's different with this strategy is that, as you said, it sits on a statutory footing under the Circular Economy Act. It's also been supported and funded through the Circular Economy Fund that's currently in place, with over 30 million euros being allocated throughout the lifetime of this strategy per annum. And it is primarily to accelerate and deliver real practical actions and targets to help us transition from where we currently are in a straight line, take, make, waste model, where we take materials out of the ground, we make a product, we use it for a short period of time, and then we throw it away. And certainly that way of doing things has served us well in the past, but we must move away to a more looped and circular system. It's no longer sustainable. It has, you know, huge impact on our environment, climate, the economy, but also people's pockets. So I suppose this is exactly why we need a new strategy. Within this, we're setting clear targets, practical actions. We're being tougher on producer responsibilities. We're also aligning ourselves with EU directives and regulation around packaging and the right to repair. We're also ensuring that we've better collection systems, better local civic amenity hubs and repair cafes. And we also want to enhance our communications. And I suppose what's also different about this strategy is that it's backed by a national circular dashboard through the CSO and the EPA, so we can see what's working. There will be an annual circular report to government addressing the actions delivered, and very much this is at the heart of government. It's aligned with housing, climate, education, enterprise, and also digital policy. So it's really cross-cutting, and it's really important in terms of how we support households, businesses, to be more sustainable, but also to be more competitive and to put, you know, more money back into people's pockets.
Okay, you're launching a new national pilot repair voucher scheme. Now, this aims to make repairing an item more cost-effective than replacing it. And isn't that the central issue here? When somebody gets a washing machine or a dryer, or they get any sort of a thing, a hair dryer, something even smaller, they look at the price of it. It breaks down for whatever reason. Number one, you're kind of, where am I going to go to get this fixed? And number two, well, do you know the cost of fixing it is going to cost only a fraction less, or perhaps maybe even more than just replacing it. Isn't that the central problem? How are you going to change that?
Well, that's you've hit the nail on the head there. And certainly it is really important that consumers, when buying products, are aware that products can have a second life and that we can use them for a lot longer. So, you know, behavioural studies have found, you know, that the price of repair, especially the price gap between repair and replacement, is an important factor for any person, I suppose, influenced on a decision to go to get it fixed. So we will be introducing a national pilot repair voucher scheme, and that will be supported by the Circular Economy Fund. There is existing schemes in place in the likes of Austria and Finland. And that will focus on reuse and repair of consumer products, predominantly electronics. Like, there's no point replacing your phone if you have a cracked screen where you can go down to a certified repair provider who can actually do it for you with a lot cheaper. And it's the same for refurbishment of laptops. And we want to ensure that it's designed around a national reuse and repair network. And again, as I said earlier, we want to make repair and reuse the easy option, make it easier, make it cheaper, ensure that people can have options. And also, options being readily available to buy second hand as well. And I suppose for people to donate items rather than throwing them into the skip or throwing them into the bin. And I think we have to move away from that position where we're currently.
You mentioned producers there, Minister, and maybe put in about like some of the biggest companies in the world rely on the take, use and waste model, don't they?
Yeah, and
that's their very business model. They want you buying every week, every month. They want you not bothering to repair. How are you going to tackle that?
Well, certainly we're going to be tougher on them. And this is not just Ireland on a solo run. This will be across the European Union. We are looking at...
Well, it can't be because it crosses borders. We're talking about the Amazons of the world. So you can't go on your own with it.
Yeah, and we've seen in most recent months the EU finance ministers through ECOFIN looking at how they can reduce the number of small packages coming from Asia and China and looking to implement a levy on small parcels that are flooding the European market. But if you look at even textiles here in Ireland, our consumption rates for textiles are off the scales compared to, you know, our European counterparts per head of capita. So we will be publishing a national policy statement and roadmap for circular textiles. And through that policy statement, we will be introducing an extended producer responsibility scheme by 2028. So producers will have to pay. And you're right, they've had, you know, I suppose, no obligation to implement a collection, sorting, reuse or recycling schemes. That will change, and they'll also provide, you know, gradient, and I suppose they'll be charged on the types of garments they put on the market to ensure that they last longer. And I think this is not to shame people from buying clothes. I think it's to stop a business model where, you know, clothes are only worn a handful of times, they're thrown out, and, you know, something else is bought instead. And I think this is about choice. It's about more quality, but also ensuring that not just through the collection systems, but through secondhand reuse and repair, that many of these items will be put into circulation for a lot longer. And we have seen, you know, the likes of Depop, which most recently was bought by eBay for 1.2 billion euros. So a lot of these companies are changing their business models. We see Vintage. You know, a huge amount of people are using Vintage as well to dispose off their own secondhand. And most recently, Oxfam have been supported by Ampost for people to actually use their take-back bags and send back items when they're decluttering their houses. So there is tools and schemes available to support this type of consumer choice.
Yeah. Okay. Local authorities, finally, Minister, in a time, there's a lot more to come, as you say, a lot more things to be announced. I know ye have and to be publicised and advertised by yourselves to get people to get on board. We're well behind the rest of Europe in terms of what we do. We're at 1.8% in terms of our circular material use rate. You want to get to 12% by 2030, but local authorities will develop reuse, repair and recycling hubs nationwide. How will that work? Are people going to be employed to try and repair things in these hubs, or to be dropped off, or what's that going to look like?
So we do have a job of work to try and ensure in the likes of Killarney or Tralee, whichever town is selected, is that there's a civic community hub that allows people to bring, you know, furniture, you know, I suppose paint, bikes, clothing, to a one-stop shop where they can drop them off, that they'll go back into circulation, that they'll be refurbished and put back into use, rather than the current cycle where people just throw them out. And we want to see a network of these hubs right across the country. And we have looked at implementing a memorandum or a partnership with local authorities to try and enhance the current civic communities to ensure that they're located where people actually need them, that they actually have the facilities in these places for sorting and separation, and that people would feel that their first port of call when they're actually throwing out stuff is that they would go to these amenity spots. And I think that's really important. It will have you know, opportunities for people actually to go there to buy stuff as well, creating jobs. And we will see a lot more of these items being put back into circulation.
Okay, all right, that's the ambition, that's the plan. Minister, we're out of time, but thanks very much for giving us your view and outlining that plan for us on the programme this morning. More to come from it. That's Minister for State Responsibility for Circular Economy, Alan Dillon, talking about fairly significant things that they're planning to do and changes they're planning to make, underpinned by law and money to make this happen. If you have your own experience on it, and if you have a situation where you've had to dump something because there's no other option, get in touch with us on the show.